It's time for Talk Back. Maybe you'd like to weigh in on whether Scott and I ought to go in for a beauty treatment. Seems like a waste of time to me. You can put lipstick on that pig, but it's not going to make him any more kissable. Yeah, it is time for Talk Back, and Talk Back is your opportunity to communicate with us. Maybe you've got a comment you'd like to make, an observation you'd like to share, or maybe you'd just like to call up and excoriate me. That's perfectly all right. I can take it, and I look forward to it. So bring it on. We have heard from a number of you this past week. You may recall last week I began the program or I began the phenology show by saying that this was the time of year that the Nighthawks would be migrating, and I hadn't seen any until this morning. As I was driving out at a little after 5 this morning, I scared a Nighthawk up off of the dirt road that I live on. And so I have seen a Nighthawk. I assume it was spending the night on its way south. But we did hear from some of you, including Roy, who was, that one has to do more with hazelnuts, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Sorry about that. It's going that way this morning. At any rate, the Nighthawks, there was a reflection from some folks who saw Nighthawks. Let's see. I got too many papers in front of me. Here we go. Last Friday, the 16th, probably between 50 and 80 were flying around the Big Fork in the hospital and the Rice River area. Later that evening, we saw a few heading south on Highway 6 at the Big Fork River, and that was from Brian and Judy up in Big Fork. So some reports of Nighthawks leaving the area. That's absolutely normal for this time of year and just exactly what we would expect. We also heard from...
Say, before you leave the Nighthawks, talk about their mouth and how they feed.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you and I think we had one land in our get caught in our car and killed.
Yep.
And you showed me the mouth.
Yeah. The mouth is if you looked at the top of the bird's head, and it's a fairly wide head. The mouth is like a triangle out there. It's not very long, but it is very, very wide. And when you opened it up, it was at least an inch and a quarter, maybe an inch and a half from
gaping.
From corner to corner of its mouth. And then there are those little hairs, they're probably feathers, but they look like hairs that stick out alongside the mouth, sort of to the sides, that help sort of direct the insects in too. Yeah, they're an amazingly well-adapted aerial insect.
So they eat in flight like
Yep.
With their mouth wide.
Yeah, they just... come
I've been
along.
On some bike rides like that. Right?
Yeah. Most bike rides I'm on, my mouth is wide open. I need more air than I can get in. Yeah. It reminds me of an experience I had on a motorcycle when I was a young lad and not particularly concerned about mortality. So I had a motorcycle, and I was driving out of Grand Rapids going towards Cohasset, and I was somewhere between the outskirts of Grand Rapids and what was in those days a bridge we called the Clickety-Clack Bridge, because it went across where 63 goes across, and it was a metal structure with a wooden deck, and it had metal plates on the deck to keep from wearing through the wood. And when you went across, it made a clickety-clack noise. And anyway, I was in that part of town and caught a June bug going about 50, 55. And by the time I got around up, it was already in the back of my throat, so I just swallowed it. Ooh, bugs. I'm leaving for the Nighthawks. They enjoy them much more. I guess the only thing I could say about that is it was past my tongue before I had a chance to taste it. Harvey Jader, a forest ecologist who lives in the Bemidji area, and his crew of minions. I'm sure you folks probably don't like being called minions, but you can turn it back on Harvey and call him our fearless leader or something. At any rate, Harvey and his crew were out, and they enjoyed a goldenrod and aster challenge. Goldenrods identified Missouri, showy, hairy, giant, gray, and white aster-like goldenrod. Also, Great Plains goldenrod, which is in a different genus, Euthamia. Asters included smooth blue, sky, smooth blue, sky blue, and tail-leaved. Also found blooming over in the Bemidji area, harebell, bluets, northern plains, and rough blazing stars, prairie phlox, yarrow, blue giant hyssop, and Philadelphia fleabane. Around the Bemidji area, white and purple prairie clovers are still blooming, and wild sarsaparilla leaves are turning yellow, red, and crimson. And Harry and I were talking about turtlehead flowers last week, and we got a note from Deb and Steve in Sparta. And they said that the turtle, they showed a picture of the turtle heads after they had begun to bloom. And she says, turtle heads are fun to grow. I tried growing some turtle heads myself, but I made the mistake of sort of setting them into what I thought was natural habitat. And it was just a little too overwhelming for them, so they didn't succeed. We also mentioned on the show last week about hazelnuts, and Roy was listening, and I said that the hazelnuts were gone, and he tweeted, not so. There are lots and lots of hazelnuts hanging on yesterday in Balsam Township, and yesterday would have been last Monday. And oddly enough, on Wednesday, I went up to the bog and found a fair number of hazelnuts on some bushes up there as well. But I sincerely doubt, I think it was just lethargy on the part of the animals, or maybe the hazelnuts were a day or two behind getting ripe. But I know that those hazelnuts are going to be gone by the time you and I get out of the studio and go looking. One final report this morning came in from our good friend Dave Scoggins. Dave is a summertime visitor here in the Grand Rapids area. His mother is from this area, and David is a wonderful phenologist, and he sent in this report.
Hi, I'm David from Boonesboro, Maryland. I have been in northern Minnesota for the past 6 weeks, and these are some of the things I've seen. We had nesting yellow, pine, chestnut-sided, and black and white warblers where we're staying near Grand Rapids. On August 16, the yard was full of golden-winged warblers. We camped at North Star Lake and watched a merlin loudly defending its nest. On a trip to the North Shore, I saw several American red starts, Cape May warblers, and Baird sandpipers. The deer flies and mosquitoes were bad until the second week of August. I have started to see mosquitoes again in the last few days. The goldenrod and purple asters bloomed at the end of July. We went up to our cabin in Marceau last week and saw the first fall colors along Highway 38. We are headed back to Maryland on Wednesday. We will be in Minnesota again this winter. Have a good week. Goodbye.
Thank you, David. Wonderful to hear your voice, and great, great report as always. David is an excellent birder and becoming a very first-class phenologist as well, picking up on his native plants. So that's really encouraging. A young man with a very, very directed interest in nature. We heard from Bob and Patty, who live over on Horseshoe Lake right in the Grand Rapids area, and they sent along a picture of a wolf that had come into their yard yesterday in broad daylight. And we also heard from Greg, who sent along a picture. He had remarked that he had seen an article in the Volunteer where I was mentioned as saying that a feather in your cap was often a good way to keep the deer flies out of your hair, because they get up high and they buzz around the highest point. And he extolled the virtues of the deer fly patch. And I have used the deer fly patch many times myself. And Greg regretted to inform me that he couldn't reveal the location of where he had used his deer fly patch, because in the picture there was a large bowl full of ripe blueberries, and so it was impossible for him to tell me where he was or why I should go there. But I knew why I should go there. I just didn't know where to go. That's our talkback show for today.